T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. We are waiting for Ralph Krueger, I would normally say, to take the podium, but he will be doing this call through Zoom, and we all know why. The circumstances that's among us. So we have some time here, Instigators on WGR 550. Heated discussion. Like, I'm just reading some of the comments that we're getting here on the Instigator. Well, no, I'm not going to read anything. Ralph Krueger taking the podium right now from the KeyBank couch at his house.
You're away with the first question.
Hi, Ralph. Hope you and your family are doing well. Thanks for doing this. And just to start off, now that you've probably had time to maybe reflect on this season, you're 1 year into your plan. You knew it was going to take time to get the team from that bottom portion of the league to, you know, the middle and the top. So where do you think your plan is, you know, 1 year in on the job, and what does this group need to do to get to that next level to be in the playoff conversation?
Well, thanks for the question. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be here today, Lance, really, to see everybody here on the screen. And we've had 11 weeks to reflect, and a lot has happened already. We did get the confirmation that this season does come to a close. So, you know, it's time to express those feelings. But where are we right now? I mean, it's a tale of two types of emotions at the moment. On the one side, we're measured by results. We're measured by points. We're measured by where we are in the standings. And that's extremely disappointing and painful right now through this phase to look at that reality. The other tale, the other side, is the evolution of this group, which, again, we've had a lot of time to dig deep here, and I'll get into some more detail on that later, I'm sure, during this call. But above all, we are encouraged by the spirit of the group. We're encouraged by the maturing of the group. We're encouraged by the embracing of how we need to play and the identity that gives us a chance to compete every night. It's real. We feel it right through the lineup. We don't think, after these 11 weeks, that there's one player who isn't embracing the journey. And so that's how I sit really here after 1 year, encouraged by a lot of signs, encouraged by the buy-in, encouraged by the culture that we're evolving and growing into, and the habits that are forming, but extremely disappointed with our placing after a season that saw us quite competitive on almost every night. And yet we fell much below the mark that we had set. And may that pain and may that disappointment help us grow.
Good morning, or good, well, I guess it's good afternoon, Ralph, for you, but John Warrow here. I hope you're doing well, and thanks for doing this. To kind of follow up on what you said, well, actually, a bit of a joke is do you ever get to finish a full season or get to coach a full 82-game season? But how do you plan to carry over that message and the motivation? And we heard Jack Eichel say he's fed up yesterday. How can you carry that pain and the bond that this team built yesterday, built over the course of the season, knowing that you're going into an extended break? And what are the pitfalls of not being able to carry over that? And how do you emphasize what this team's learned?
So that's a good question, John. And yeah, thank you. My family is safe and healthy here. But how do we continue? Well, I have to say we jumped right into the communication with the players off the hop. And we've had multiple contacts with them. Also using the vehicle of Zoom, and our high performance team was managing the physical side of things until we had clarity. The focus needed to be on re-entering and still playing. And so it's been, you know, driven that direction. But already this week, we've begun to have contacts with players, and we need to stay connected. Like, you know, our motto from the start was play connected. And it means we need to play connected here. However long this break is, we need it to work for us, and we need to use it as an opportunity. It's our only choice. We can't complain. It's a waste of energy. We can't feel sorry for ourselves for not being in a potential hypothetical playoff. But again, we were responsible for that, and now we need to be responsible for this time that we have. And how do we do it? Is just staying strong in our communication. We right through the season communicated very strongly with the players, and we're continuing to do that here in the summer. We're doing group meetings. We're doing group chats with them. We're doing one-on-one chats. We're not trying to suffocate them, but we are staying, in a high quality way connected to the players, and we're going to stay on them. We're going to set measurable targets. And what I feel right now out of my heart is that this group, when they get to play again together, is going to be extremely hungry to work towards that next level. I really have that impression after 11 weeks of interaction with them. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, Ralph. Good to see you again. Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 here. First off, thanks for showing up with the blazer on. You really put us all to shame. So nice work there. You know, yesterday and the day before, we talked to so many of your players, and they all brought up your leadership ability and what you brought to that locker room. For you to build this team into a winner, do you need to have that relationship with the players? Is this part of the goal, is to get as connected, as you said, as possible, and then eventually the success on the ice will happen?
Well, you know, it's not something that I do strategically. It's what I do as a leader naturally, and I enjoy so much, the good and the bad. I enjoy the dialogue with you all. I enjoy it with the players. I like to be challenged by you. I like to be challenged by the players. And so what we have here is, a situation where we need to, you know, we need to continue to grow out of those challenges with each other. And we need to grow out of the frustrations that we've had in the past. And I think that working together here as a group moving forward is going to be extremely exciting when I look at how honest the players communicate with us, you know. And Matt, I lost you just on the last part of your question there. Can you get Matt the mic again?
Yeah. And then, Ralph, I just kind of said, you know, does this leadership style, is this something that needs to happen for the success on the ice to follow? Because, you know, we saw that at times this year. And then ultimately, you know, the slip happened and the West Coast road trip and everything. But does that leadership eventually equate to success on the ice?
Well, I think that's, thank you. Sorry about that, Matt, but quite clearly, I believe that leadership needs to drive two main components into a team. And the number one level of respect that we need to have within each other is based on, you know, creating a positive environment, and a leader drives that. If I'm expecting a positive, constructive, solution-focused environment from the players, yet I am beating on them and dragging them down and not living that way, it doesn't work. So I just believe that I need to be part of that process and an example in that process. And the other side is, of course, the discipline that we need. And I want to tell you right now, as a leader, I am so excited about the sacrifice and the work ethic that we've brought into this group. There was a lot of it naturally, but it's coming in the whole. And, you know, as a leader, those need to be the driving factors, that you create an environment where everybody respects each other so we can trust each other to communicate openly. And the other is to create an environment where everybody tries to improve every day and works extremely hard in the moment on what they can control. And I need to do that as a leader, as I expect that from the players. And I feel on both those counts, we are evolving in the right direction.
Hi, Ralph. Wonderful to see you. Good to talk with you today. To kind of tag up on Matt's question, what does it mean to you to have the players almost unprompted speak up for you and to say how happy they were with you, and even Jack going as far as to say that you're the most natural born leader he's ever met?
Well, it's always wonderful to, you know, to feel that openness, because usually players aren't that open in their communication. And, you know, I have to tell you on multiple levels, you know, one year ago, I did not know the city of Buffalo. I did not know the ownership of Buffalo. I didn't know what the coaching job was going to be like in Buffalo. I certainly didn't know the players or the staff in Buffalo, and I didn't know the fan base. And one thing I can tell you when you're in is we live in the heart of Buffalo, and my wife and I really enjoy the city, number one. Number two, the ownership, the management team, these are good people. They are wonderful to spend time with. They challenge you in a healthy way and support you in a necessary way. And I enjoy that. And, you know, the team, my God, it's been such a joy to work with these guys. And it's just been easy because they are ready for this type of environment, and their natural, you know, their natural instincts are able to flow here. And so I like the people I'm working with, my staff, the coaches, and above all, I truly love the Sabres and I love our fan base. And I know there's pain out there and I know there's anger, but I feel so many positives after 1 year experience. And, you know, the most important thing is who do I work with as a coach every day? And that's the players. And I'm happy to hear they're on board, because the expectations are only going to go up for us as we grow. And when you get those kind of compliments, that's a high bar to jump over and over again. And as a coach, I look forward to trying to do my best to do that again.
Hi, Ralph. I'm sure you heard Jack Eichel's comments yesterday. Had he relayed that to you before? I mean, what do you think of those comments? Do you understand his frustrations?
Yeah, hi, Bill. I mean, it's across the board, we are frustrated. I mean, we are not where we want to be. And that's what I mentioned on my very first, answer to Lance's question, was that, you know, we're on two different sides here. We're emotionally angry and frustrated because we all know that more than halfway into the season, we were expecting to be a playoff team and we slipped out of that. And, you know, the targets kept changing. And we needed to win two of three. Then we needed to win three of four. Then we needed to win four of five. And suddenly we were out of the race. And so that there's pain and anger, and that Jack's at the lead of that, that's a really good sign, and it's very healthy. And it also shows that our core has a youth that is they're willing to reach for higher standards. They're willing to reach. And now we need to do the work that backs that up, because all this talk, I can tell you anything right now about the past. It's not really important what I say about the past. It's the actions that we now take that are going to matter. And when we get the opportunity to come together a group, we have to give those actions to the fans. We have to show them on the ice. But on that way now, each individual is going to carry a big responsibility. So if we're going to complain and be angry about the past, we need to work extremely hard right now, because the only people that are going to change it is us. We have the opportunity to change it, and only we can do that. And it will not come easy to get the momentum and the positive feeling in Buffalo that we're all searching for will not be given to us. And it's going to be a tough grind coming up here. And I know the players know that, but I like the anger. I have no problem with people outing frustration on the past, but then let's move that conversation forward real quick and let's figure out what we're going to do about it. And that's going to be our job now, no matter how long the break is.
Hey, Ralph, Heather Pruzak here from the CBS station here in Buffalo. Yeah, definitely the best dressed guy that we've seen throughout these Zoom calls, I got to say. Thanks for doing this. You know, speaking of that frustration and some of the players' comments, I want to ask you about some of the things that Rasmus Ristolainen said yesterday. He mentioned that, you know, if changes happen, he thinks that he would be probably one of the first guys to be traded. Do you see him as one of, you know, your core guys? And, you know, just what do you make of those comments that he said?
Well, what I love about Risto is he doesn't hold back on anything. He tells you the truth all the time. So I've really enjoyed working with him this year. You know, when I began, you know, coaching him and I was the leader of that room, he was somebody that wanted to be traded. And now he has embraced our path and he was all in on our pathway this year. And he attempted, you know, to compete at a high level right through. So he's the centerpiece of what we're doing here. And, you know, the National Hockey League is a world of moving pieces. I want to coach Risto next season. I would enjoy coaching Risto next season. So that's probably all I need to say to you. And that Risto always comes with a little bit of bite is what we love about him. And I'm expecting to see him as a centerpiece and a core player in our group next year. And thanks for the clothing compliments, by the way. I thought I'd dress up. You guys don't know what I have on my lower body, how nice these shorts are.
Hey, Ralph. Well, I love the rafters in the background. I'm not going to talk about the clothing. I just like the rafters.
That's great. Welcome to my home.
Great to see you again. Rasmus Ristolainen also talked about, even before he got in the NHL, he doesn't know what a winning culture is. He said in Finland, coaches got fired every year, GMs got fired every year. He goes, I've never been part of one. I don't know what a winning culture is. And you, as you move forward now, you've got some guys who have done nothing but lose. I mean, Rasmus talked about 7 years of losing. Jack talked about 5 years of losing. Sam, 6 years of losing. You can throw Gergensen's in there. You can throw Larson in there. I mean, they've done nothing but losing in their professional careers. So as you move forward and you want to change that culture, you're trying to change a culture of guys who don't know anything different other than what losing is. So how do you move forward with that?
Well, for me, a winning culture is a culture that reaches its potential. So that's the measuring stick for me as a leader, is I, as a coach, need to know at the end of a season that I've pushed a group towards its potential. And each player should demand that of himself. And if we do reach our potential, then we're part of a winning culture. Now, in the National Hockey League, there's one measuring stick, and that's the playoffs. The playoffs, everybody above that line is a winner. Everybody below that line is a loser. It's the reality, and we accept that. And that's what the players are speaking about. But they also have done a lot of winning, you know, especially those two players you just mentioned, Jack and Risto. You know, the work they put in, 365, 24/7, those are athletes. And they're just a couple of the many examples in our team that have helped to take hockey to a whole new level. When I coached this game before I came to the Sabres, it was at a different pace and it was at a different physicality and it was at a different technical level. The game has improved so dramatically in the last decade, and it's why it's so beautiful to be a part of this game. And they've worked hard to do that. So they are winners insofar as they're in the National Hockey League, they're at the highest level, but the group that they've been a part of hasn't found the potential above that line, above the playoff line. And that's what we need to find. I see those guys both as winners because of how they compete. I see them both as winners because they care. And I'm just watching what those two guys did the last 11 weeks. They've all purchased fitness equipment. They've all built multiple gyms that they could open to the public just to be ready in case we were playing again. Those aren't losers to me. Those are winners. And what we need to do is get all of those dots connected, all the players, the management, the coaches, the organization, and we need to get it above the line. And that's the challenge. And then we will hit that definition, because there's a lot of different definitions of winners. We all know that. And, you know, for me, that is really important to separate the fact that individuals might be doing what they're needing to do, but the group as a whole hasn't gotten there yet. And that's where we need to go.
Hey, hey, Ralph, John Scott from Spectrum News. Thanks for doing this. Jack Eichel was incredibly complimentary of you and gave you a lot of credit, calling you one of the best natural born leaders he's ever been around. Can you just describe to us the relationship you guys developed, how it evolved over the season, and how important it is to have such a strong connection with a player of his level and the captain of the team?
Well, Jack's just, you know, wonderful to coach because he just wants to get better every single day in whatever the role is, whatever the responsibility, on the ice, off the ice, you know, everywhere he wants to evolve. So that's a lot of fun to be a leader of a person like that. And our relationship is one of quality, not quantity. We don't need to speak hundreds of words. Often it was just eye contact on the bench in the third period, and there was a connection. And I was leading and he was taking his responsibility without even saying a word. And, you know, we would sometimes, you know, run into each other in the hallway, and it would be 5-6 sentences were enough to get the whole group refocused on the task at hand because we'd had a horrible game the night before. So, you know, I think more than anything, we have a natural relationship. Nothing is forced. Everything just comes easy. Since we met in Slovakia over a year ago, the conversations are predominantly focused on improving the Sabres and doing what we can do in our roles to get this team into the playoffs and to, you know, turn this into a winning organization over more years in a row. And you know, I'm very pleased that he has the, you know, the openness to bring that out in the public. Feelings are mutual, and it's extremely exciting to feel, you know, his hunger right at this very moment to use the break, to use this also as an opportunity for us to improve as a team. And, you know, we'll continue to do that together.
This is Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com. Thank you for doing this, and glad to hear you and your family are doing well. As you move forward, you know, people talk about a losing culture. I mean, Jack and Risto talked about it or touched on it a little bit yesterday. They haven't made the playoffs. Obviously, this is history. The team hasn't made the playoffs in 9 years. You found yourself, and obviously there's no salary cap, but in a similar situation when you went to Southampton. How, you know, it's easy to say like winning solves all that, but when you are in a place where there is a perception of a losing culture, what lessons did you take from Southampton to get away from the shackles of that kind of stigma?
Yeah, the most important thing is of course what you said in that statement is critical, and that's that nothing ever replaces winning in sports. That is for sure a given. But I believe when you lead in roles in an organization, your focus needs to be on an excellence in everything that we can control, and take that responsibility to heart and make sure you surround yourself with people that buy into that and trust that that will then take you to the winning that all the fans and the outside world judges you on. Because we are judged on that superficial number of the outside, whereas the internal, the the true, you know, the abstract of what is actually the potential of a player, what is the potential of a team, doesn't have a definite number. The definite number is the points we got in the standings this year and that we ended up in 25th. That's definite and it's unacceptable and we have to take that. But what I did was take the focus away from anything other than being excellent in the moment and trusting that that builds into the wins that we all so desire. And it's what we're doing in Buffalo right now. We're, you know, we can look in three different directions. That's what happened in Southampton. It's what's happened in when I went to the Swiss national team or I came to Buffalo. You can look in three different directions. You can look to the past, which we definitely need to do because we learn from the past. And we need to move ourselves forward quickly. So like within a game, I will judge every shift of every player as I'm watching it. And then I need to move into the next shifts and he will play or he won't play or he'll play more or maybe power play or penalty kill. So you react to that. And after a game, you do that. And after a season, you have to do that. You have to look back. You have to look things in the eye that you didn't like that you can improve on. But as quickly as possible in each of those environments, wherever I was, you got to get people back into actions in the moment, learning from that past. And then we have to go forward and forward together and keep reaching towards the goals and believing in the dreams that we all have, which are big with the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, I think that for me personally, as an example, number one thing here is I take responsibility for where we finished. And the first thing that has to happen, what do I control? Number one, I control myself. I've got to be better. I've got to be better as a coach. I've got to be better as a leader. That's where it starts. And then I have to drive that into the people around me. I have to drive it into the staff, into our high performance staff, into our players. And that's how we will build a winning culture for all, no matter how you judge it, whether it's internally, our potential, or in the standings. But it's not easy. I've already said it. And, you know, I'm excited about working to get better and growing in what I knew was going to be a difficult challenge. And the history of my time is 1 year now. That's the history I have. But I know so much more than I did a year ago. I have so much more information. And now we need to use it.
Hey, Ralph. Mike Catalana in Rochester. Thanks for doing this. Following what you just said, you come in, and there's not very much patience in sports these days, but you talk about building, right? You're a brand new coach, yet you took over in an organization that's almost a decade without the playoffs. So how do you personally guard against trying to build and knowing this is a fan base that's waited almost a decade to get back in the playoffs and not lose sight of what it takes to actually build? But on the other hand, you got to win. You have those two masters going at the same time.
Yeah, I need to make sure we keep it simple and we keep that picture small when we come back together. It's time now to open up the viewfinder. We have opened up that viewfinder with the players. I mentioned to you that the physical side has already been addressed and all the players bought into that through Instagram, through Zoom, through all kinds of platforms. We've been building an unbelievable physical base with the guys over the last 11 weeks. And, you know, Joe Collins at the head of our high performance, Ed Gannon, JT Allaire, they're, you know, with the fitness have been in contact. So physically we're evolving and now we're going to regroup. We have clarity. We know it's the off season and we might have a 2 month extension on the regular off season. So let's, you know, we've kind of said that April maybe becomes June and away we go on our off season and we need to use that off season. But then there's the skill side. You know, there's a lot of things we've identified and the coaches have had meetings weekly on Zoom and we have taken a deep dive into each individual player, his skill set, the technical, you know, strengths and weaknesses that he has and what he can do to develop. So we're looking at that. And, you know, tactically, we haven't spent that much time on the overall riding tactics. We're, you know, we were expecting to play games again this season. We didn't want to make any major adjustments. We're going to start looking at that now. And finally, it's the mental side of the group. We need to get better. You know, we seemed to fatigue at times during the season and lose our focus on the game that we all knew we needed to play. The players have said it. They've embraced it. They've tried so hard, but here and there we lost our way. And when we lost our way, we had confirmation what the actual way needed to be. We got back to it, but we lost our way twice for six losses in a row this year, and it killed us. It killed our season. It killed everything we worked for, everything we wanted to do. All our dreams were destroyed in two phases where I believe we actually mentally lost our way and not physically or strategically or individually, you know, and I think that that's going to be an area that we're going to work on to improve. And I need to find better ways to tap into that through an 82 game schedule, which you jokingly already have said that I might never get. I just keep coaching short seasons, but the next one may be 82 games. But those are some thoughts, Mike, to what you were saying, how we can actually, you know, work now through this phase. But above all, let's keep that picture nice and small. What can we control? And just like our system on the ice, we like to keep things simple, because if we start letting all of the outside noise come into our decision-making, it'll take us off track. And above all, you need to be strong and resilient and show your team is connected when we're getting difficult challenges thrown at us from the outside. It's okay. It's good. Everybody has that right, but we need to stay strong and on course. And like you can hear in my language, we have a lot of work to do in the off season. We have a lot of work to do whenever our next training camp comes, and we have a lot of work to do to get to that next level, but we will get there.
All right, we will head to break. We'll come back with Darren Dreger. We'll process everything we just heard. Heard a lot. Marty, Craig, Andrew, Instigators, WGR 550.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Ralph Krueger, coach I never had. Anyway, I'll stop dwelling on that point because we got Dregs coming on. Instigators, WGR 550, it's Friday. Ralph Krueger addressing the media right now. We caught a vast majority of it. Make sure you tune in Monday. We'll give you our broad spectrum of our views on it. Dregs, or have you listened to Ralph Krueger's press conference today?
I have not. I have not. I was listening closely to that clip as I was sitting on hold. But based on what I heard in that 20, 30, 40 seconds, that's essentially what I expected from Ralph. I mean, he is highly intelligent, highly articulate, and, a very thoughtful person. And regardless of the noise that's come out of Jack Eichel's comments, Ralph would have thought this through from every angle and all aspects, from COVID-19 in general and how we've all been impacted to, the competition that the National Hockey League is planning with the 2014 field. So he's a sharp dude for sure.
Let's talk about those comments from Jack Eichel. You said they made some noise. How did you receive them? And what did you think about even Jack and Risto for that matter?
Well, look, I wasn't surprised. Jack is a fiery guy. He's raw emotion and plays that way. I mean, his commitment is as strong as any in the National Hockey League. His leadership qualities are most definitely there. He wants to win. I think everyone associated with the Buffalo Sabres wants to win. And he feels like it's time to turn that corner, and so the message was abundantly clear. But I didn't take it as a slight against management or the Sabres in general. I think that Jack Eichel's level of frustration was accentuated by the fact that the National Hockey League went with a scenario that excludes the Buffalo Sabres, one of seven teams that aren't going to be in that 2014 tournament. And he's pissed off, and I don't blame him. I'm not being critical of the format. It's not going to make everyone happy, but Jack Eichel wants to play in the playoffs. The Sabres want to be part of the playoffs. So I think that was as much a part of his frustration as was the direction of the organization. I don't get the sense that he's not in it to win it long-term with Buffalo. And those who aren't associated with the Sabres and perhaps don't pay close enough attention to the Buffalo Sabres maybe read too much into his comments. I'm certain that Sabres management were 100% supportive of what Jack Eichel said.
So now moving forward, Dregs, a number of high-end players on the Sabres have spoke to the media, Ralph Krueger now. Now, there is a situation where the seven teams that have not made the playoffs are able to make trades at this time. Do you feel that the Sabres have anything cooking amongst any of those other teams to make a trade?
I don't, but that's not to say that something won't materialize. It's an odd situation, isn't it? We talked so many times earlier in the season leading up to the trade deadline about what Jason Botterill and the Sabres might do, what Botterill was looking for, what was he willing to part with, all of that. And that's dealing with 30 other NHL clubs in the mix. I think it's going to be real tough on these seven teams to pull off a trade that matters, anything that's going to bring any value or return. Because, if you're giving up something good, wouldn't you want to, advertise that piece to the entire NHL as opposed to just six other NHL clubs? So you might see some trades that are lower end stuff, maybe involving draft picks or prospects and depth players. But I doubt very much we're going to see a blockbuster out of these seven teams.
Well, maybe we don't see a blockbuster, Dregs, but maybe at some point at the draft, after the season resumes and the playoffs and the Stanley Cup is awarded, there is a big piece that gets moved out of Buffalo. Ristolainen yesterday said, I'm pretty sure I'm like one of the first one to be traded. Now, Ralph Krueger answers this quote this morning by saying, I want to coach Risto next year, but as, with your experience in these type of situation, do you think that we will be doing another summer of Ristolainen? Well, we'll be watching every rumors, every phone conversation, and that he would be the one piece to be moved out of Buffalo?
Well, it's possible, obviously, given the history and the speculation that it's swirled around this player. But I think there are three scenarios that come into play with Risto. number one, if he wants out of Buffalo and he requests a trade, I'm not saying he's going to, but if he does, that's a vehicle that he can use to get traded. Number two, somebody blows the doors off Jason Botterill at some point and makes an offer that Botterill and the Sabres, can't refuse. And then number three is unlikely. And that's because of the relationship that's developed between Ralph Kruger and Ristolainen. I mean, Ristolainen, I believe, was essentially an unhappy player before Ralph Kruger came in and onto the bench for the Buffalo Sabres. And they speak the same language, as I said, and you guys know this. They've got a real good relationship. So I think his comments are just more of the old. The speculation around this player, certainly last summer and leading up to the trade deadline. But the Sabres value Ristolainen, and it's going to take a lot to make a deal like that happen. But it's not impossible given all the talk that's swirled around this player.
Instigators, Darren Dreger joining us here. It's amazing. Dregs, we apologize because we went longer with Coach Kruger today, so we don't have a ton of time for you. But where are we going to see these playoffs? Give me an idea of where a hub's going to be.
Vegas still seems like a real strong contender for me. And as Commissioner Bettman talked about on Tuesday, the perfect scenario would be to have, an American hub city and a Canadian hub city. It doesn't feel like Canada is going to loosen its restrictions anytime soon. And, we had Commissioner Bettman on the Ray and Drake's Hockey Podcast yesterday, and he talked about the timeline and doubled down, saying that they'd like to whittle down, carve down the list of bidding cities in the process in the next 2 weeks and make a decision in the next 3 weeks. So if they have to go all American, Vegas makes some sense. You've got the West covered, and maybe look at Columbus in the East. We'll see. Watching what's going on in Minnesota today, wow. I think that you can probably take Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul out of the equation, on the unrest that's happening there on top of COVID-19 and whatnot. But there's another layer to this, guys. I don't know if you caught the interview on TSN with Gino Retta and John Tavares. And that, for me, is going to be interesting. Tavares is on the return to play committee, right? So he's been engaged in this for quite some time. He talked about, the information that they need to get that they don't have yet, specific to the hub cities. What's that environment going to look like? Is it going to be similar to an Olympic Village, or is it going to be even more restrictive than that? That has the potential for me to be a deal maker or a deal breaker, because once the players have all of that information, if they're essentially being held hostage in a self-isolation hub city environment, maybe they just go, oh, hold on a second here. We didn't agree to any of this. So the whole hub city issue is one that's far from being resolved.
All right, Dregs, awesome stuff as usual. Sorry for cutting you short.
No worries.
We're taking that Ralph Kruger press conference, which is actually still going on. So enjoy your weekend, my friend. We'll chat with you next Friday. Thanks again for everything that you do for us.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right, you
thanks,
too.
Greg.
Darren Dreger. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter, TSN Hockey Insider.
You know what's funny?
The insider trading. Well, you can tell me on the other side of the break.
I'll tell you on the other side of the break. Yeah, absolutely.
Buy, sell, trade. This, buy, sell, trade. This will be funny. Presented by Buffalo Sports. Negative. I'm selling it. We'll be right back. Just joking. Just joking. Bye.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, for just flat-out sake of lack of professionalism, we do not have a buy-sell trade prepared. So, buy-sell trade is presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, and they're great sponsors of ours. This segment is brought to you by Buffalo Sports. Marty, take it away about Dregs. We only have about a minute and a half.
Well, Dregs is the best, right? Because he just admitted, look, I did not listen to Ralph Kruger's comments. I'll catch him later or whatnot. But then he said exactly what Ralph Kruger said when we asked about Risto. He said, listen, this is a guy that before Ralph Kruger showed up, Risto wanted to be traded. He asked for a trade. Ralph Kruger pointed that out. He said when Risto and I first met, Risto was an unhappy player and wanted to be traded. And a year later, that relationship is really strong. So that is, to me, like Dregs has his finger on the pulse, knows it before it even happens. And that's that was a great a confirmation as to what Ralph said and what Dregs is saying. They go hand in hand.
I agree. He's fantastic. I did a poll. Yet I don't know if that's 10 seconds, Jay. That's 10 seconds. Look for the buy-sell trade at WGR 550. And have a great weekend, Instigators. Monday, recap of Ralph Kruger's presser. Marty, Tuesday. See you then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.